It's such a joy to be able to share with you this morning, and I ask you to turn to Mark chapter 4, verses 35, well, starting in verse 35, and we are doing a study with our college and career on, we have been doing Elevate on Thursday nights, and we've been studying the Gospel of Mark since last year sometime. We did that through the pandemic and when we came back in person. And actually, that's a good thing to announce to you. Elevate, our college and career weeknight Bible study, is moving back to Wednesday nights this week. It'll start at 8:15 on Wednesday night after choir rehearsal is over. For any who are not in choir, we'll have the college building open. We can watch church together at 7 o'clock on, streamed online. And then we'll have our Bible study and games and fellowship time. But we've been studying Mark, and when Brother Wayne contacted me about speaking this morning, I had thought back about some of our studies in Mark, and those of you in the college and career, this is not a repeat of any of the studies we've actually had in Mark, but some material drawn from Mark that I think will be a blessing to you as it has been to me. I want to ask you this big question. How big is your problem? How big is your problem? The world is full of problems. A problem-free existence. People talk about a problem-free life. A problem-free life is a myth. It doesn't happen. We live our lives basically moving from one problem to the next. Ever since the fall, there have been problems in the world. The Bible says it this way. In Job 14:1, the Bible says, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble." A common subject, if you think about it, a common subject of our conversations among ourselves is the problems we are facing. Boy, they really got me down at work. They're adding all this load onto me, and I don't have time to get it done. I haven't been feeling well. We've got this and that going on in our home or our family. We talk about our problems. And often when we get together and talk, even as Christians, our problems almost become a boasting match. Yeah, you got a problem, but my problem's bigger than yours. You know, I got sick with COVID, and I was sick for so many days. Yeah, but I was sick for this many days. You know, my problem's bigger than your problem, right? So let me ask you, how big is your problem? We're going to learn about some problems that Jesus can overcome, and we're going to start in Mark 4:35. We're going to read through most of the chapter and chapter 5 and basically read through the passages of Scripture and let the Bible speak to us. But the first thing I want you to see is that Jesus has power to overcome disaster. And that's in Mark 4:35 through 41. Mark 4:35 says, "And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, unto his disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with them other little ships." So Jesus directed the disciples into the ship. Keep that in mind. He said, let's go and cross over to the other side. He directed them into the ship. Verse 37. "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full." Now here's the problem. They're facing a great storm. They're on the Sea of Galilee, and the Sea of Galilee, the topography of the Sea of Galilee, the sea is actually 640 or something feet below sea level. And it's surrounded on most all sides by mountains, by hills. So it's in this bowl, this depression, if you will. And it is given to sudden, violent storms. And it's very easy, my understanding is, to get out on the Sea of Galilee and everything's clear and fine and happy. And suddenly a storm hits. And that's what happens. And they are in a deadly disaster. When we think of the Sea of Galilee, it literally is a lake. But it's a lake that's 8, 9 miles, 15 miles across in one direction. So they're miles from shore. The waves are raging and the wind is blowing. And they're in a deadly disaster. And verse 38 says, "He, Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? We're about to drown here in this storm. The ship is going to go down. You know, the thing we need to remember, when we face problems, tell Jesus about your problems. Did that surprise Jesus? Did he wake up and say, Shazam, I did not know there was a storm going on? No, he's God. He knows everything. Tell Jesus about your problems. And notice what took place. Verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I want you to notice the fact that Jesus spoke. We'll see in each of these four miracles, Jesus spoke. And when Jesus spoke, he spoke the words, Peace, be still. And when Jesus speaks and tells the storm, be still, the storm obeys. It's immediately still. It's immediately calm. These disciples were in a storm. They were in a disaster. But Jesus brought peace to their storm. So the way we need to remember, the application for us, is Jesus can bring peace to our storms. When we're facing storms, he can bring peace to those storms. And it may not be like it was with the disciples, where suddenly the storm stopped. It may just be that he puts a peace in here when we're going through the storm. Look at verse 40. And it said, he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So we should remember that we should have faith. We should trust in Jesus when we are facing disaster. When that disaster comes, when the trouble, the storm, the problem comes, we need to remember to trust Jesus and have faith in him. And look at verse 41. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? You see, these disciples were learning more and more about Jesus. They were learning more about who he was. At this point, they're even saying, What manner of man is this? Later on, they realize he's not man, he's God. So they're learning about Jesus. And you know what? We learn more about Jesus when he brings us through disasters, when he leads us through those storms and those troubles and trials and disasters in our lives. We learn more about Jesus. What kind of disaster are you facing this morning? Is there any disaster in your life this morning? Maybe personal, maybe financial, maybe relational, who knows? But let me ask you this big question. How big is your problem? Jesus took care of the disciples' problem. How big is your problem? Second thing I want us to notice is that Jesus has power to overcome demons. And that's in chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. So let's kind of work our way through those verses. And they came over onto the other side. After the storm stopped, they got to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, unto the country of the Gadarenes. So Jesus, again, directed them and led them to this place. And they get to this place that is predominantly Gentile. They're Jews, but this is predominantly Gentile. Verse 2, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, a man possessed by a demon spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. This is a problem. Here's the problem. We've got a demon-possessed man. And not only was this man demon-possessed, he was terrorizing the local community. He could not be bound with chains. He lived in the tombs, and he was screaming and hollering. And when we went through this passage, I asked the college and career folks, imagine when Uncle Ned passes away and you got to go out to the graveyard for the funeral. And here's this crazy man over here screaming and yelling and cutting himself. And the Bible says he wasn't wearing clothes, and he's terrorizing the local community. That's a problem. And that's a problem because this man is possessed and controlled by demons. Look at verses 6 and 7. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. And that word worship literally means he bowed down to the ground. And he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, I beg thee, by God, that thou torment me not." And it's worth noting for us that demons throughout the Bible always recognize Jesus and honor Jesus. They have to. They know who he is. And they know that they are subservient to him. And they can't do anything unless he allows it. And he could zap them out of existence at any moment. They recognize Jesus and they honor him. You see, let's go back to the fall and or to Lucifer's rebellion. God created a whole host of angelic beings. But when Lucifer, Satan, rebelled, the Bible says he led a third of the angels to follow him. And they were cast out to the earth. And those are the fallen angels or the demon spirits. God's got holy angels. Satan's got unholy angels. That's who we're talking about here. Look at verse 8. For Jesus had said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And Jesus asked, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. So the demons begged Jesus to leave them alone. They had a good thing going in that particular country. And they didn't want to leave that country, so they begged Jesus to leave them alone. And notice Jesus asks, what is your name? And the demons in the man reply, "Legion, for we are many." How many demons were in this man? Well, I don't know, but a legion in the Roman army was 6,000 soldiers. So this man is eat up with demons. He's got demons everywhere. And did you notice in verse 8, once again, Jesus spoke. And when Jesus speaks, things happen. It said, "For Jesus said to the man, 'Come out of him, you unclean spirit.'" So Jesus spoke, but the demons in this man begged to be left alone. Now look at verses 11 through 13. "Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, a herd of pigs, hogs. And all the devils besought him, saying, 'Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them.' And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 pigs and were choked in the sea." So the demons begged Jesus to let him go into the pigs. Brother John, why did they want to go into the pigs? I don't know. Let's talk about it during the millennium, okay? The demons asked Jesus to let them go into the pigs. And the pigs ran violently down the sea and drowned. Interesting fact. Pigs swim. But these pigs drown. 2,000 of them. And as I told the college and career folks, these pigs committed suicide. But notice what took place to the man. Verse 14. "And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and said unto see him that was possessed with the devil." And previously he was unclothed, he was wild, he was uncontrollable. They saw him who had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. So the man was dramatically changed. And the application for us is Jesus can deliver those who are held captive by demons. Verse 16. "And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him," that's Jesus, "to depart out of their coasts." This man had this terrible problem, and he was possessed by all these demons. He was raving mad. He was uncontrollable. He was terrorizing the town. He ran around with no clothes and breaking the chains and cutting himself. But did you notice what the people who lost the pigs said? Said, "Jesus, Jesus, would you please leave?" They preferred the status quo. They were used to the wild man out at the cemetery. But they weren't used to this idea of losing all their pigs, their livelihood. They preferred the status quo to God's work of delivering and saving a sinner. And you know, folks, there are times when someone, God will dramatically save someone, and people who know him will get upset about it. And that's what took place here. And they said to Jesus, "Would you please leave us? We don't want you around here." And so Jesus left, verse 18, when he was coming to the ship. He that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. He wanted to go with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." And the man departed and began to publish in Decapolis, that whole region, how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. You know, when Jesus solves your problem, when Jesus helps you through your problem, whether it be that disaster or this demon possession, when Jesus does it, go tell other people what Jesus has done for you. He didn't want that man to come with him. Jesus didn't. He wanted that man to stay there and tell others what had happened to him. And boy, that's the greatest testimonial. This is what happened to me. I was possessed by all these demons. Now I'm free. Jesus did that. So we need to tell others when the Lord works on our behalf. Let me ask you a question. What kind of demon problems are you or your loved ones experiencing? Now, Brother John, can saved people be possessed and controlled by demons? No, saved people can't be possessed by demons, but they can sure be oppressed and troubled by demons. Lost people definitely can be possessed and controlled. So perhaps you've got someone that you know, someone in your family, or someone that it's evident that they're not under the control of the Lord. They're under control of another force. What kind of demon problems do you have? How big is your problem? So Jesus has power over to overcome disasters, and he has power to overcome demons. He also has power to overcome disease. Let's look at, continue on with verse 21. "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship," let me pause there. The Bible says he constrained his disciples to get in the ship. He said, they went through the storm. Let's go to the other side. He met the man possessed by the demons. He delivered the man of the demons. He got back in the ship and he went back. He went all the way over there for that one man. You know what? Jesus goes wherever he's needed. And if you're the one with the problem, or you got a loved one you're praying for, Jesus can reach that loved one. Let's pick back up in verse 21. "When Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, 'My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live.'" So there's the problem. Jairus' daughter, he was one of the rulers of the synagogue. He was an important man in the community. And he said, "Please come and lay your hands on my little daughter. She is sick and she is at the point of death. We don't know if she's going to make it." That's the problem. That's a problem when someone is sick and at the point of death. But there's another problem that shows up here. Look at verse 25. "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse." There's another problem. This woman was sick. She had had an issue of blood for 12 years. Now, what does that mean to us? Well, for one thing, as a Jewish woman, she was ceremonially unclean. Anyone who touched her was ceremonially unclean. So this woman was an outcast. She was alone. She was isolated. She couldn't be around other folks if they wanted to observe any of the Jewish rituals and feasts and things of that nature. And not only that, the Bible says she'd spent all she had on doctors and nothing had helped. She was no better at all. And you know what? Long-term illness can be very discouraging. Long-term illness gets old after a while. We grow up as young people, we have a tendency to be used to the fact that, oh, we get sick in a few days or a week, we're over it, we're fine. But a long-term illness like this woman endured for 12 years as a lonely outcast, that was discouraging for her. Verse 27. So this woman's been described, but it says, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press, the crowd that was behind Jesus. She came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. This woman had a great deal of faith, didn't she? She was ceremonially unclean. She wasn't supposed to be around people, but now she is charged into this crowd of people, and she's pushing her way through. She's crowding through, and probably before people realize, oh, that's the woman that's unclean, stay away from me. She's pushed her way through, and she's thinking in her heart and mind, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. She had great, great faith. Look at verse 29. And straightway she touched the hem of his garment, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She was instantly healed, and she lived with it for 12 years. So when it ended, she knew it. She was instantly healed. Verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing him in himself that virtue, and that word virtue literally means power, that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the crowd, and said, who touched my clothes? Now, just think for a moment. Most of you probably, ladies, you wear a long skirt sometime. Most of you men probably don't wear long skirts, I hope. But I know wearing a choir robe, playing in the orchestra or choir, you're walking along, you would never know if somebody touched the very hem of the back of that robe or skirt, ladies. But Jesus knew that power had gone out from him, and his disciples said unto him, thou seest this multitude thronging you, and sayest thou, who touched me? People were touching him all over because he was in this crowd. And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. So the woman confessed not only her problem, but she also confessed her faith. She confessed her faith in Jesus. She said, I know I've had this problem, but I knew if I could just touch the hem of your garment, I would be healed. And look, I'm healed. Verse 34. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Once again, Jesus spoke. You know, when Jesus speaks, things happen. He spoke. He said, woman, be whole of thy plague. So the application for us is that Jesus can heal our diseases. You know what? Most of the time, he does. You ever been sick? You didn't die from it. He healed your disease. Oh man, I had the flu, I had COVID, and it was bad. You know, I had COVID last fall. I had fever off and on for 10 days. It was bad. And the residuals were bad for a couple of months afterward. But you know what? He healed me. I'm alive. Most of the time, he heals our diseases. We often think about that in terms of someone who's got a terminal disease and we're praying that God would miraculously heal them. And sometimes he does. But sometimes the healing he gives is by taking them out of that corrupt, dying body and taking them to eternal healing in heaven. So Jesus can heal our diseases. What kind of disease are you living with? Again, I ask you, how big is your problem? Now let's get back to the narrative. Remember, Jairus is the one who met him at the boat and said, my daughter's over here dying. What do you think Jairus is thinking while all this is going on? Jesus, come on, my daughter is over here dying. Quit messing with this woman. Quit dealing with her. Come on over here. I need your help. So the last thing I want us to notice, Jesus has power to overcome disasters, and he has power to overcome demons and power to overcome disease, but Jesus also has power to overcome death. Look at verse 35. While he yet spake, when Jesus has just finished saying, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole, go and be whole of your disease," while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why trouble the master any further?" That's a problem. He's been praying for his little daughter. He's want Jesus to come and heal his little daughter. And now he gets the word, "Your daughter is dead." That's terrible. You know, when we get word that someone has passed away, whether it be expected or a surprise, it's terrible. It changes us. It hits us hard. But notice verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." Jesus spoke again. And when Jesus speaks, things happen. Jesus said, "Don't be afraid, just believe." And let's see what takes place. Verse 37. And Jesus, he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult. There's a crowd there. There's a lot of weeping and wailing, and there's unrest there. And them that wept and wailed greatly, he sees all that because there's been a death in the house. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. So everyone there was convinced that the situation was hopeless. This poor little girl has succumbed to her disease. She is dead. And when he says, "Don't worry, she's not dead, she's only sleeping," they literally laughed at him at the home while they're there where a death has just taken place. But look at verse 41. And he took the damsel, Jesus took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, "Talitha kumi," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." So once again, Jesus spoke. And you know, Jesus doesn't have to say a whole lot for things to happen. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. At the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came forth. And here, Jesus just says, "Arise." And you know what? The girl was raised from the dead. Verse 42, and straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was about of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. I imagine so. The girl was raised from the dead. And the application for us, you know what? Jesus even has power over death. Now let's think about that a couple of different ways. How many times do you suppose he has spared your life? Perhaps it was a car accident that could have happened, but maybe you got delayed and weren't at that place at that time. Perhaps it was some other type of accident on the job or at home. Perhaps it was that deadly germ that didn't affect you that way, didn't take your life. Perhaps you recovered from your disease, whatever it was, like I mentioned earlier. How many times do you suppose he has saved your life? I don't know if he'll let us know those kind of things when we get to heaven. He might. If he does, it'll just be to give greater honor and praise to him. But think about it this way, too. Jesus has power over death. And there are a whole lot of people walking this world, people that we might bump into day to day, who are spiritually dead. The Bible says that those who do not know Jesus Christ are spiritually dead. But Jesus has power over death. Who do you know that's spiritually dead? Let me get real personal. Are you spiritually dead? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? So I ask you again, how big is your problem? These were big problems that we saw here in this passage of Scripture. Disaster, the storm at sea, and the demons that possessed that man, and then the disease of the woman, and then ultimately death. But Jesus has power to overcome them all. You know, I asked you several times, how big is your problem? But you know, the real question we ought to ask ourselves, how big is your God? Because our God is bigger than our problems. Whatever problems you may be facing, and you may be thinking, well, Brother John, I'm not facing anything like disaster or demons or disease or death right now, but I got this problem. Jesus is bigger than your problem, and He can help you with your problem. He can help you through your problem. He can help you out of your problem. He can solve your problem. He can change things just like that if He so chooses. He can help you with your problem. When we're facing problems, the question that we really often ask is, why is this happening to me? But the question we might ought to ask is, God, are you big enough to handle this? Oh, yeah, you created the universe. I guess you are. Help me trust you to handle this problem as you see fit. Let me ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. If there's anyone here who doesn't know Jesus Christ, I beg you, place your faith in Jesus right now. Turn away from your sins and place your faith in Him and trust Him to do a work in you that only He can do. And for those who are already saved, have you got a problem in mind? Is something bearing down on you? Cry out to Jesus in faith and beg Him to work in your problem and to work in you. Lord, I pray that you would accomplish your purpose in this time of invitation this morning. I pray you'd be glorified in all that takes place here, that you would draw sinners to salvation and saved folks to closer fellowship and trust and communion with you. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask you to stand, please.